Alrighty, let's get this show on the road. If everybody will rise, please, and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Carol, will you call roll call, please?
President Graves?
Here.
Vice President Dawson?
Here.
Director Simon?
Here.
Director Steele?
Here.
Director Tatro?
Here.
Thank you. Report on closed session of March 2nd. Council?
Thank you, Mr. President, board members. At the last meeting, the board met in closed session regarding the sole closed session agenda item. All five board members were present during the duration of the closed session, and there was no reportable action. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Council. Before we move forward, a couple of housekeeping items with regards to the agenda. Item 1 has been pulled from the agenda, and item 4 is moving up to number 1. At this time, it's time for public comment. Anybody out there that would have something they would like to speak to that's not on the agenda tonight, please come forward and exercise your 3 minutes. Okay. Moving on to presentation. At this time, I would like to invite David Wall and Lynn Valentis up to talk about Relay for Life.
Thank you. Here?
Yeah, you address the board, if you would.
Okay, Lynn.
Right. Well, first of all, my name is David Wall. I'm an American Cancer Society Relay for Life volunteer, Lynn Valentis. Also, we're members of the planning committee. We've been involved with the Relay for Life in Brentwood since its inception in 2005, and then a couple of years prior to that. We're here this evening, and we appreciate the time that you've allowed us on your agenda to talk a little bit about the Relay for Life. We understand that there's a lot of excitement, so much more than perhaps there has been in the past, and it's absolutely wonderful to see a community willing to take up the fight is kind of what it's termed. The event will be June 11 and 12 in Brentwood at Liberty High School. There'll probably be about 100 teams present, a couple of thousand people. We anticipate raising at least $247,000, our goal, that will go to the American Cancer Society for research, education, advocacy, and patient services. We have provided the society with well over $1 million just in the last couple of years since the relay came to Brentwood. And if I could, just sort of starting from the beginning, the American Cancer Society began in 1913 with a group of 15 doctors. At that time, cancer was something that wasn't spoken of outwardly. It was whispered at different parties. And the concept of educating the public and getting the word out about what cancer was and how to prevent it really made a name for the society. It was actually in the 20s when the Women's Corps started and the whole volunteerism process started, something that's near and dear to your hearts as volunteers. And thus, the American Cancer Society is the world's largest voluntary health organization with the goal of eliminating cancer as a major health problem. Relay for Life started in 1985. It's actually the world's largest private nonprofit fundraiser to the tune of about $400 million annually. It goes towards the society's works here in California, $390 million last year. There's about 10 relays here in Contra Costa County, 5,000 across the country. So again, we're just absolutely thrilled that you as a board, and we see the signage up on the wall. We're going to leave lots of materials here tonight. Understand in speaking to Rick, he's got a background in Relay for Life and doing some challenges to the Yacht Club and the Chamber and the Lions Club. And we as members of the Planning Committee are available to come and spend whatever time and resources, DVDs, written materials, to sort of talk up the event. And I'm going to let Lynn say a couple of things if we still have time for that.
Go ahead.
Thank you again for letting us be here. In case you don't know what Relay is, if you've not experienced it, it's a 24-hour event. So 9 a.m. starting June 11th, ends 9 a.m. on June 12th. Your team is 12 to 15 people. Each person on the team is asked to raise a minimum of $107 this year because this is our seventh year. And for that, you get a t-shirt. But we're all about raising awareness and raising money. So someone on your team from the opening ceremony until the closing ceremony is on the track. So it's a tag team kind of thing. I mean, you can take the 2 a.m. shift, Kevin. In fact, people, with our weather, people like the nighttime hours because it's quiet and it's not hot. So people enjoy that as opposed to 2 in the afternoon when the sun's beating down. We provide meals. So there's food, there's entertainment. We honor the survivors. So we celebrate. In the morning, in the evening we do the remember, we have a very moving luminaria ceremony. And then the following morning we do the fight back ceremony because that's what we're raising money for, to fight back against the disease. So thank you for your time, your attention. If any of you have any questions, we're happy to answer them.
Any questions from the board?
I have a question. How many of you are going to be on the team?
Well, yeah, heck yeah. Rick ran it 24 hours, you can tell by it.
This came to our attention a couple of weeks ago from one of your survivors,
Wanda Zimmerman.
And it was interesting, the coincidence did not escape me. I had been talking about the Relay for Life for about a month with the staff. Before we even got the phone call, wow, about forming a committee and forming a team, I should say, to participate in this year's annual event. And so I'm really happy that when she called, it just kind of kicked us off. And the board's made aware of it. They've all been invited to participate. I'm sure they'll all participate in some way or another. Mm-hmm. We have established a goal internally of our, this is our just our staff here in the town office, of raising $2,400.
I saw that.
And we've already raised $950,
wow,
just since Monday. And we received our first check today from the gentleman to my left. His law firm graciously dropped off a check to me this evening. So thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask, have you contacted the Yacht Club?
I have not. Have no knowledge of having contacted the Yacht Club.
Let me give you the name. They are huge into this.
They meet the first Thursday.
Of every month.
Okay.
My wife's on the board there, that's why I know.
You
can contact Karen Mann.
How do you spell the last name?
M-A-N-N. Karen Mann. You can contact her at the Yacht Club. I'm sure they'd love to have you present there, and I know they'll get involved.
Okay.
And Chris, I would assume the Chamber of Commerce.
I had a discussion with the board last night, and we're going to put the message out here this week to all the members to try to form a team or get the businesses involved to support their own team for you. So
we would love for Discovery Bay to have a presence.
I'd like to show up the town. As far as the chamber, I'd like to see if we can match or beat what the town's doing.
Yeah,
so
we would love it. Yeah, thank you. That's great.
Any other questions? Any questions from the public with regards to this event?
While you're walking up to the front, Kevin, we did name our team, by the way. We're calling ourselves the Disco Dreamers because we're dreaming for a cure. And that was a collective determination by the group, because that kind of fits appropriately with your theme of celebrating what birthdays.
Right.
Yes.
And some of us are just dreaming just to be able to walk for 2 hours, I think. if you guys would come up here, please. Town has got a resolution here for you. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the resolution thereby designating May 13th to 15th of 2011 as Paint Your Town Purple Days, and June 11th and 12th of 2011 as Relay for Life Days throughout the town of Discovery Bay Community Service District and surrounding communities. And there's a lot of whereases and what for to go along with that. I'm not going to read all that.
Okay.
But glad
you so
to be
much.
Here,
thank
and
you
we look forward
much,
to supporting
thank
you.
There
you
thank
go.
You.
Thank you so very, very much. We do appreciate you.
Yeah. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Oh, you didn't tell Ned to stick to the whole name?
Oh.
Is that the price you have to
pay? Run while you can.
Okay. Chair and directors' reports. We need reports from directors this week. Ray, do you have anything? Chris?
Yeah, I attended the LAFCO meeting on March 9th. Highlights, Tom Butt, the Richmond councilman, was named as a commissioner for his alternate. There was some good fire discussion there. they discuss a fire service report. Normally that would be an annual report that needs to come in from the fire services to LAFCO. It looks like that the commissioners decided to bring that date into September 2011 is the next due date for that. They wanted to hear more often what's going on with the fire service. Commissioner Meadows recommended that the feasibility study be performed to consider a private industry alternative, and you know, maybe they could make a profit, and he thinks so. What else can I tell you? The Myron Marsh Landing Generating Station, the $650 million Antioch power plant, is on schedule right now. LAFCO seems to be pretty frustrated that there's such a slow dialogue between the city and the county. There's some minor details that need to be handled, and I guess it looks like they made a motion that if they don't get their acting gear soon, they may reconsider the part of the LAFCO endorsement for some connections. Special District Risk Management Authority is seeking board nominations if anybody's interested. It looks like about 8 hours a month of volunteer commitment. Other than that, I just want to chime in again on the fire. I think that there's joint powers of authority out there, such as Orange County Fire and a few other good examples of a countywide fire. During the fire discussion, I did hear a lot of West County, and you know, I know LAFCO and you know, Commissioner Meadows was vocal on getting make sure we're supported out here in the East County, but you know, we've got about a year and a half to 2 years left on that East County budget, and it's frustrating, so we may need to get more involved here as a board.
Thank you. Brian?
Are you going to talk about the fire?
You go ahead and talk about the fire. A bunch of us went,
Mr. Director Steele and President Graves and myself attended the last East Contra Costa Fire Protection District meeting. They have decided to move forward with the engineer's report for a benefit assessment. From my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, the engineer's report will dictate how much each individual home pays, including commercial property
and agricultural.
It's the total amount of ballots, 44,000, so it's 44,000 parcels of those aforementioned types, and they think they're shooting for an average of $96 per ballot or per parcel. Some will be higher, some will be lower, and that'll be the average. And with that, what they're hoping to attain is ALS, is that it? ALS?
Yeah.
Yeah, 2 ALS, which is the Advanced Life Saving Systems.
Right.
Participation in a equipment replacement program.
Turn about $650,000.
Yeah, to $650,000, and then there's a yearly fee on that too. The other thing is they want to stay 3-0 at all the stations, and they want to stay at their current 6 stations. The rest of the money would be used to, they have a $2.8 million operating deficit in their budget that would fill. So I think that the sum total of $96 is a little over $4 million that will be generated a year. I think that's given a briefing. I mean, I have to agree with Director Steele. I do think we need to re-engage this subject and maybe try to figure out a way to get the information out to the public on what's going on. The next meeting is April 4th or 6th? I think it's April 4th. It's the first Monday of April. And they're expecting to have the engineer's report back to them.
April 4th.
And that's about it. It's really important that the residents of Discovery Bay really get out there on this and participate in the process. I think we had 3 residents at the last meeting besides the board. And I think that we should try to figure out a way that we can help get that information out to the public.
Yeah.
Got
one. Director Steele, you want to add something?
Sorry, I just want to go back to the LAFCO for a second. While I was in the meeting, Mary Pifo handed me some information. There was a nice write-up for Mike McGrew in the Journal of California Association, LAFCO, and I'll have it here for everybody to take a look at. Also, interesting article in one of the papers. Hercules is looking at discontinuing a joint wastewater treatment project with Pinole. But I noticed down here in part of the article, it was talking about rates, and a single-family rate with Pinole being independent would be $64 a month until 2015. If they were to do jointly, it would be $86, and they project that the wastewater would be $120 by 2035. So maybe being independent's okay.
Thank you.
Director Simon.
Okay, I attended four meetings in the last couple of weeks. First, I'll get off the table, is the fire protection district. That's been pretty well covered. I will add my own take on it from what I got from the meeting, and that is that this assessment is going to do nothing directly to benefit Discovery Bank. It's not going to change our service whatsoever. It's not going to get us back our stations. It's not going to increase our service. It's not going to save us from losing a station. It's going to do nothing for us except cost us money. That's the way that's pretty much how I read it. I attended the school board meeting just out of interest in the construction project that's going on out there, and Director Dawson told me he wasn't going to be able to make it, so I kind of went there just to make sure we were covered. And it was interesting in that a lot of concern about bullying and behavior and disrespect for the teachers at that school. They're having a real struggle with that, and those are our kids from here, so that's something to be made aware of. A good friend of mine who's the school resource officer over there, David Elaine, has started a really neat project. He's doing archery for the kids in an after school project. They get off early, I guess, on Wednesdays. I just found out. First board meeting I've been to, so I just found this. And he has had, I don't know, $5,000 something worth of equipment donated, and they've got 50 or so compound bows, and they've got these great arrows they can shoot indoors, and a great hanger they can put across the stage, and they're going to do archery after school, and he's going to try to get some kids involved in that and try to get some interest and keep them interested in something at school in their spare time until the parents can to fill some of that time, which I thought was neat. And they're moving ahead rather well with their construction project. The gym is back on, they say. So that's kind of good news, because that's kind of how we were sold Measure C. So it's kind of interesting that it's back to what we thought it might be. I also attended the Aviation Advisory Council committee meeting, nothing really to speak of other than the fact that development is diminishing. There was a project that was supposed to go on here, with a grudge to us, in Byron. It was supposed to be 8 hangars. It's down to 2 hangars. I can't remember the name of the jet company that was going to put it in. But anyway, everybody's downscaling their plans, it seems like. And the noise has not been a problem to anybody but the cows, apparently, because we're not getting any complaints out of the Byron Airport. Buchanan Field's got a whole other issue going over there. And then I also went to a meeting that was hosted by District 3 Supervisor Mary Pifo. Actually, Director Dawson and I attended this. It was on the Gary Adensa. And the good news is that they're promising that they're going to actually treat this stuff this fall. This spring, excuse me, in April, and they're supposed to be making an aggressive effort to get rid of the weeds by cutting and treating with a very safe chemical. It's all kind of hinges on budget issues, but the money's in the budget at this point, so it looks like we may get some reprieve with regards to property values, accessibility, yachting, and those things that go on here that make Discovery Bay so important to our citizens. With that, in order to educate the town, there is going to be a town meeting on April 9th. Actually, there's going to be two town meetings on April 9th. One will be held over in Bethel Island. One will be held here in Discovery Bay. The one in Discovery Bay, I believe, is at 1:00, and it's going to be at the gym next door. And I have some flyers here. Carol, can you put the rest of these maybe back on the table back there for me? Do you want all of them? I believe there's going to be a direct mail on these, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct, Rick? I think Rec 800 is actually going to send us out to every citizen at Discovery Bay. you know, we stopped the two gates, at least for the time being, and we can have a voice if we really get out and get together and exercise. So this is a really important issue. I know that, I mean, it's huge. There's people that haven't been able to get their boats out of their dock for a year. So the meeting's April 9th, next door, 1 o'clock. It's a town hall style meeting, and there'll be representatives from the State Department of Boating and Waterways, Supervisor Pifo's office, as well as many other government organizations will be represented, as well as Discovery Bay. I know, so I know. And that's all I have at this time.
Can I say one thing on
that? Go ahead.
Just today, there was a front page article in the Contra Costa Times on the adjournments and what's going to be taking place in April. So if you get the paper and you haven't read it, it's a pretty good article.
Who wrote that article?
Someone I've never heard of.
No?
Yeah, no one locally.
Okay, so moving along then. Everybody done? All comments? Okay. Consent calendar.
I'll move that we approve the consent calendar.
I'll second that.
Any discussion? Anywhere? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. I would now ask staff to address the merchant card service agreement.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. This evening, I have before you an agreement with Bank Card Services. Bank Card Services is the partner with ECC Bank, our banking partner for Bank Card Services and Merchant Services. Back on January the 19th, the board made a direction to the staff to begin the implementation process of moving towards a online credit card bill pay feature so that customers have the opportunity to pay their water bills or any other type of service that they have with us through the use of credit cards. Right now it's only through cash and through checks. With that action, the board eliminated cash acceptance and is moving completely to an electronic form of payment. With that, just to recap real quickly on that one part, we do get a fair number of checks in here on a daily basis, and those checks do not get, if you recall, do not get driven to the bank. We have an automatic check reader here, and they get transmitted automatically.
Correct.
So by eliminating the cash, we end up not having to make those transfers. So Tom Locher with Bank Card Services, did I mess the name up, Tom?
Very good.
Is here this evening, and he can't address any questions that the board has. But essentially, Bank Card Services through ECC Bank will be providing all the back of house, if you will. When the customer goes online, picks up the telephone, and makes a over the telephone credit card transaction, the customer will have the opportunity to do that. When they make that transaction, there will be a $2.50 convenience fee for that transaction that is charged to the bank. If the customer comes into the district and makes their credit card payment through us directly and we have the credit card in hand, it's considered a much safer transaction for the bank, and consequently we will be paying a 1.5 to 2.5 percentage point that we will be paying to accept that transaction. So there is a small fee with that. There is still an option, there's always an option for a free transaction that a customer can make, and that free transaction is they can still continue to write a check, drop it in the mail. They can go and use their online banking bill pay feature through their own personal bank and have the check sent directly to the district. We probably receive about 60% of our checks, 50 to 60% of our checks from that method. They're done through online bill pay. This is the first step. The next phase of this, once this process is implemented, will be to roll out the module on the website that allows the customer to go online to our website and be able to make the payment by the use of their credit and or debit card. And we will be able to accept MasterCard, Visa, and Discover, I believe, Tom, but not American Express. Okay. So if you have any...
That's fee-driven, I assume?
Pardon me?
That's fee-driven, is that correct?
Well, it's...
American Express's fees are higher?
When you climb up to the podium.
Yeah, they are.
Is that what I'm thinking?
Their fees are higher, and they don't have a way to do the convenience.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm good.
Good to see you again.
Nice to see you.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Why don't you stay?
One thing I did miss is that there is a $10 per account maintenance fee that we will have to pay on our end. Oh, we waived that?
We got rid of that.
Oh, wonderful. Never mind.
Even better.
Okay, well, we will have two accounts. We will have one for water, mm-hmm. and we will have one for other services, for example.
Water, wastewater.
Water, yeah. Well, water, right?
Oh, that's right. Wastewater is still on the taxes, isn't it?
And the other would be for any of the marketing materials that we have, or when people come in and purchase documents from us that they requested.
With
this action tonight, this can be up and running within a very short period of time, if I'm not mistaken, Tom. I think that We've done all the back of housework. It's already been approved, and all we need to do is get it to be executed. And within a week, I think we can be up and running.
Well, it's going to take a little longer because with the convenience fee feature of it, we got to set up the, you got to decide how you want the 800 number to all the verbiage that goes along with that.
Understood.
All that's got to be put together, and so it's going to take a couple weeks to get that with HP together and do that.
Chris, you have anything?
So we're on track to start on May 1, right?
Correct.
Brian?
I just had one question. The per authorization fees of 20 cents, is that the 1% you were talking about per transaction? I saw that on the merchant application.
If a client is using the online or the phone where the convenience fee is in play, mm-hmm. it costs the township nothing.
Yes.
It's all taken care of. If they come in here and you have an account where they're actually going to swipe a card through a terminal, it's going to have a range of fees from anywhere from one, depending on the type of card that's issued to you, mm-hmm. rewards card, debit
yeah.
card, a 1.5 to 2.5% of that transaction fee and 20 cents to get that approval.
Okay.
That's what the fee structure is if you swipe.
It was, when we had this discussion that this district wasn't going to bear those costs.
That's what I was, and thanks
now,
for asking.
Now I'm here, we are going to bear those costs. When did we change our mind?
Well, I think that with the for people that pay online and for people that pick up the phone and call, they would be picking up the $250 charge. We anticipate a very, very small number of people coming in and paying it here at the office. It is a small fee that I'm not sure, after discussing with Tom, that's unavoidable.
Can I add?
Sure.
The only way to avoid that fee is if when they come in here to pay that bill, you put them on the terminal and tell them, here's the website, here's the thing.
That's what
and
I
go through the process that way. That is the way other townships have done it.
Or give them the phone and let them make the phone call. It's a toll-free number.
Yeah, exactly.
Why should we incur the cost if we can just hand them the phone? Agreed?
Yeah, I mean, this is not what we agreed to. And, you know, I'm sorry, but...
From a convenience standpoint for the customer, we felt that it was important to be able to provide a point of service here at the office where they came in. That could be eliminated, and we don't have to do that.
Okay. But here's, I'm sorry. Is it okay if are you done?
No,
okay. Please. But here's my point. Somebody comes in to pay for $4.10 worth of copies for a PRR. Am I on? I'm not on. It doesn't matter. You can hear me. A PRR. And we pay $2.50 in a convenience fee for them to get that. Yeah, if they swipe it right here, they do.
No, if they come in and swipe it, we would pay, depending on the type of card they use, whether it's
1 to 2%, not 2%.
Right. 1.5 to 2.5%
of the transaction plus 20 cents. So it could be as much as 26 cents.
Right.
Okay, I hate to be a stickler about this, but especially for PRRs. Mm-hmm. You got the time it takes one of the people in the office to put that PR together, and now we're going to pay But I'm dead against it.
Okay.
If they want a PR, they pay for it.
Is there, I'm sorry.
Yeah. We can charge in that circumstance because it is a direct cost to us. We can charge the requester, for example, if a member of the public wants a public records request and it's $10, we can charge them 2% plus 20 cents and get our money.
Why can't we make a policy that if somebody comes into the office to pay their bill, they can come in and they can pay their bill, they can do it by phone or by terminal or by computer, and then we don't have to get involved in this. Is that you say other municipalities handle it that way, and it doesn't seem like a major inconvenience to pick up the phone. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to do that once, and then from then on, they're going to do it from home.
Exactly, and we don't bear the cost.
But if you have a member of the public that's coming in to pick up documents that they requested,
they call on the phone and pay for it. I mean,
how do you know they have?
Excuse me?
They come to pick up documents. How do you know they called on the phone and paid for it?
Well, we
know they do it here.
We would know that if because they call us.
Really?
They would be calling us, and our customer service person in the back of the room would be inputting the information into the phone.
No, the phone, the 800 number for the bill pay would be automatic for the credit card and set up for different categories, whether they're paying water or whatever categories would be. That's the setup process.
Somebody could, in theory, pick up the phone, dial it, put their thumb on the thing, and pretend like they're giving a number and not really paying for it. Is that what you're... Are we worried about that? I don't know if we're worried about that. Is this being taped? Am I giving people ideas here?
Well, Tom's the expert in this, and so I'm going to defer to his background of different implementations.
I got to tell you that I agree with my two colleagues here that have said this should not cost the town a dime. That was the original thing. And the only other thing I want to bring up is how come we talked about having the ability to pay directly with a check by, you know, that'll be on the website function. Are we going to be able to add that?
You can pay by check. Most people already pay by check.
No, I mean online by check.
Where it's directly taken from the account.
ACH.
ACH.
Has that been looked into yet?
That's part of the next implementation phase.
It has
part of the website phase.
So I'm ahead of the...
You're a little ahead of it, yes.
That's my nature. Thank you.
Especially the first.
Yeah. Other questions?
I don't...
Or clarification?
Yeah, I don't have a problem passing on some of the fees to the public. I do think that if we do that, we should make it on the website, have a really easy to use, you know, guide on how to use your check so it is free. So we can push, this is how it's free if you want to take the time to do it. If not, these are the fees. I mean, as long as we make it known what is the free way to do it, I'm fine with passing on, because I agree with these guys that the agreement we did make was that it would not cost the district money.
I know that the stuff that I buy online, there's always a disclosure. I mean, it always tells you you're going to pay, if you choose to do this, you're going to pay that, and then you decide if you want
to
do it. The bottom line is we've given them a free way out. They can come in, write a check, it doesn't cost them a dime.
Correct.
I know that when we were on our way out of town over Christmas, I wanted to pay a couple credit card bills. I didn't want to wait for them. When I called, I had to pay $10 a piece to pay them on the phone, and I paid it. I mean, I knew it going in. I said, I'm going to pay it because I don't want a bill sitting there when I get home. So the person who pays by phone or the person who pays by the internet, if they look at it, they can decide for themselves. I can either walk in and hand them a check.
I don't think that's the issue, though. I think that's already been covered. That is no cost to the county.
They can either come in here and pay for it and say, look, I'm going to pay with a credit card, and this is what it's going to cost me, or I can write a check and it costs me that.
That's right.
They have a choice. So, and I don't think we should incur a dime of this. Nobody else does.
A second ago, Rick deferred to you to give us some of your background on this. Do you have any input for the board to help them with their decision on this with regards to how to handle what our goals are?
If your goals, I mean, the townships I've been involved in have either one statement. It's either a convenience for their population, and they will accept that cost that's involved in accepting a credit card face-to-face. Others say that, you know what, it's going to be a true convenience. You can pay already by walking in the door and handing us a check, and that's fine. The convenience is that if you're late paying it or you're going out of town and you want to get it off your back, I'm going to give you a website and I'm going to give you a phone number to call in and do that. But for that convenience, it's $250.
And that way, you as a township are able to defer the cost of that. That's by the rules of Visa and MasterCard. It's a choice you have to make. If you do not want to pay that, you can set it up. And my whole thing is that putting them on the phone, it may be easier to get a terminal that they have access to here. And then you go, here's the website, pay my bill, and off you go.
Now, if we do that, if they come in and pay on a website, there's a way for that website to notify us that, yes, this has been paid.
Right, that's all the setup that we still have to do once this has been approved and goes forward. What we do is we team with HP, and basically HP manages that website and sets it up to look like the township. It's a secure link, and the information that you're going to want on that, we're going to have to sit down with, and Dawn Bardell is our person from HP that'll contact you, and we'll sit down and figure that out. And the same thing with the phone system is, what do you want to accomplish? And we have to set the background up. What you're looking at is just what the cost structure is doing that.
Okay. I appreciate that. Couldn't you, doesn't it always give you an option after you pay a bill to print out a receipt?
No.
Typically, doesn't it say?
Or it emails you.
Emails it.
Is that what it does?
Emails.
Yeah, and then you have to print that out for, for a copy. Okay. Staff, where are we?
Well, I like it's in, just so I understand the direction of the board, is that this, what the board has concern about is the, not the first part of the calculation, which is making the credit card payment online or picking up the phone and calling the credit card in. There's a $2.50 convenience fee charge of the customer for that. But it's the, when you come in here to pay it, you don't want that customer, you don't want the district to have to absorb any costs associated with that.
I don't believe that the rest of the district should subsidize somebody's choice. Okay. That's really what it comes down to.
Okay.
Even if it's 40 cents, somebody else is paying for somebody else's decision, and I don't feel that that's right to our constituents.
When it comes to public records requests, I leaned over and asked Dan, and he confirmed that we can charge the requester. That way we know that it's been paid. If they come in and want to pay by credit card, we can charge them the 2.5% plus 20 cents.
That's the same as coming in and buying a hat. It's a convenience fee. You can either pay by check, or you can pay the convenience fee, and we'll have to establish that so it covers all the costs.
But my only concern is, how do we know that that request has been paid for it?
That's what I was just asking. If they come in with a credit card and they pay with a credit card, it should show whether it's approved in credit card account. You should be able to check out on the spot, can't you?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. That'll come up on an approval screen, right?
Okay, so then we will eliminate the bottom of the bottom half of this then. Okay. Thank you.
Do you need direction to be sure?
Council, can you make sure that we're covering things as we should here, please?
Yes, don't forget the public comment.
Thank you.
For each item.
We're not making any, we haven't made a decision yet. Ray, did you have some more input?
Well, are you saying that they no longer, you're saying that, I don't care, but they're no longer be able to pay for the Visa card. They're going to just do it at home then. Is that what you're saying?
Either over the phone or at home.
That's fine.
And they will be charged a $2.50 convenience fee.
And that will be clear on the site that they go to pay.
Yes.
It has
to be. I'm slightly confused. So we're not going to accept cards here?
Correct.
Okay, any comments from the public? And if you're going to speak, please come up and speak into it. Tom, we didn't want to just see you stand up and sit down. Everything's recorded, so we would ask the people that have comments, please come to the microphone, and if anybody, the public has any comments, please come up to the microphone and address the board. Hello, Mike.
So if I'm paying either my water bill or if I have a public records request, can I come in and use a terminal and use my online bill pay and be free of charge?
We don't have a terminal set up for that. If we did that, we could definitely offer that.
And it would never be free of charge. It would still be a convenience fee.
It should be free of charge, right?
Yeah.
Online bill pay?
That's right.
I apologize.
Let me ask you a question. When you go into the restaurant at the Harbor and you get done eating, you hand them your credit card, they have a terminal sitting right there, you slide it, it shows approved, and you're done. Why don't we do that? Wouldn't we be better off having a terminal here?
We were planning on having a terminal, but if you have the terminal, we swipe it here, then we're charged the 1.5 to 2.5.
The restaurant pays that. The restaurant pays
that. Okay.
Restaurant
pays that fee.
It can't be set up the other way where it charges the credit card?
Convenience fees are an exception to the rules of the card companies, MasterCard, Visa, Discover. Convenience fee, only certain types of businesses can charge them, governments being that. And it has to be a convenience. If the traditional way of paying the bill is coming in here and giving you a check or giving you cash, that's not, having a credit card is not a convenience. The convenience aspect of it is being able to call an 800 number or do it online. So if you decide to have a terminal up front where you are actually going to swipe the card through it, the swiping of the card makes that the same as the typical payments that you receive. It's just one of their rules.
Oh, that's kind of interesting. I get what you're saying. So it's not really a convenience. You got to drive down here, walk in the door, and so it doesn't fit the convenience.
Exactly. And retail locations
that's
don't
very
have
very interesting. Okay.
But certain organizations do, and being a government,
okay,
you have
that's there. Interesting. That's an interesting fact.
Actually, they can pay on the website. They can pay by phone.
And then as we get the website, as we get our website up, there'll be one other free option, and that will be the ACH.
That's the intent, yes.
And that will be by May also.
And that will come back to the board.
And that will be by May also.
That's the intent, yes.
Very good. Any other comments from the public? Not hearing any. I'm sorry, Chris.
What's the timeline for ACH? When is that expected to be ready for online, for on the web?
We want to launch everything at once.
Yeah.
Well, this will actually get launched a little bit sooner. We'll actually provide this feature, start advertising it. But once this feature gets in, we go to the next phase, which is getting the credit card company. I'm not really sure it's a credit card company. It's the
American Clearinghouse or whatever it is, ACH.
ACH, and whoever is the provider for that on board.
Can
so
we just
this
do
is the
it
first
for,
step.
Okay.
Can we ask the newspaper maybe start putting something in there now so that we know it's coming?
I'm sure Ruth will be talking to the general manager this week about this exact issue.
Most likely.
Thanks, Ruth.
So what I would ask the board then, based upon the clarifications you gave me just moments ago, to adopt staff recommendation with those changes.
Okay.
So you're looking for
I will make a motion that we adopt the staff's recommendations with the changes to be that the cost associated with the credit card is not incurred by the town.
Dropping the point of service charge.
Dropping the point of service charge.
Or the point of service usage. I'm sorry.
I'll second that.
Okay, are we clear? Okay. All those in favor, please respond by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Tom, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Appreciate you coming out here and explaining that as well as you did. And we look forward to getting set up, and you guys will take care of the rest.
Okay. Can I ask a couple of questions?
Sure.
When we bring in ACH, will there be a charge to the district for the use of ACH? I'm not that familiar with the old ACH process. I will put you in touch with that same lady from HP,
right,
and she will go over all that's involved in that. The ACH part of it is not my expertise.
And that will come back to the board.
Yeah, and that will come back to the board, and
we'll
have a discussion very similar to this about that part of the procedure, and we will discuss fees and conveniences at that point.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Okay, item number two.
I'm going to invite Farron Perez up. This has to do with the Regatta Park basketball court project that the board approved some time ago, and we went ahead and made the application to the county. They've gone through their county processes, and they want to come back to make sure that we still support the project. So it's come back full circle.
Come back for comments.
We changed our mind.
Okay, who are the bozos that put this thing forward? That's what I want to know.
I'm a guest.
Okay, Farron, do you have a presentation for us?
No.
Okay. Is there any discussion by the board on this?
No.
Is there any discussion from the public on this? Okay.
Great presentation.
Nice job.
Are there any specific comments that we'd like to provide to them?
I would like to have them proceed as quickly as possible with their approval process. That's the only comment I have to make.
We emphatically support this project.
The park going to be turned over.
Okay, so can I get a motion from the board directing staff to send a vote of confidence and recommendation and support for this proposal to the district?
Yeah, motion to make it. and if we have staff, authorized staff to send a letter supporting
our project.
For Regatta Park.
Great. Is there a second?
I'll second
that. Okay, that motion's been made and seconded. Any more discussion? Okay, not hearing any. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
I can't believe they made you sit here for that.
Thank you, Farron.
Thank you,
well,
Farron.
Okay, thanks, Farron.
Right, thank you, Farron.
Okay, item number three. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. This item is before you tonight. Back on February the 20th, the board created three ad hoc committees. The fiscal 2011-12 budget review committee, the communications committee, and the community center committee. We established a deadline of March 11th for letters of interest for members of the public, for three members of the public to sit on each of the committees. We received a number of applications for the different committees, and the committees, the board members and I have met for each respective committee, and each of those committees has made recommendations as to their committee appointments, and the president of the board has the committee appointments.
I do.
And per board policy, the president makes the appointments with board ratification. Thank you.
Thank you. What I have in front of me is the report that was given to me by staff. I'll start with the 2010-2011 Budget Review Committee.
I'm sorry, that should be 11-12, I apologize.
11-12. And I apologize for not seeing that. Due to the fact that there was not an adequate response to the announcement for members of the public to sit on the Budget Review Committee, the two board members on that committee have requested that the application date be extended and that the district solicit additional applications for consideration to sit on the committee. The existing budget review committee will begin working with staff in the immediate future relative to fiscal 2011-2012 operating and capital improvement program budgets.
Yes, and the committee requested that we extend the deadline for a period of 10 days.
10 days.
To solicit more applications.
Okay.
And then that way we can scheduled to make that appointment at the next board meeting on April 6th.
They're going
to
be aggressive about getting out there and beating the bushes, I guess. Sounds fine to me. We don't need a vote on this, correct? That's just giving them authorization to board.
Well, actually.
Or do we need a vote, sir?
You do, because you had set a deadline at
okay.
the last meeting.
Any discussion from the board?
No.
Any discussion from the public? Hearing none, I would...
I'll make a motion that we extend the application period for the Budget Review Committee 10 days from now.
I'll second that.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. We are just one big synergistic group, aren't we? Communication Committee. Has the following recommendations. The Communication Committee recommends that Discovery Bay residents Amanda Dove, Chris Middleton, and Jennifer Mixon be appointed to the committee. All three applicants possess a strong background in business communications. And then on the Community Center Committee, this is the recommendation that has come forward. The Community Center Committee recommends that Discovery Bay residents Bob Abity, Jim Madison, and Sean O'Toole be appointed to the committee. All three applicants bring a variety of backgrounds and skill sets to the committee that will be beneficial to the overall outcome. I would bring these slates forward for ratification to the board. Does that need a motion, or was that a motion?
Always remember you need to allow the
public. I apologize again. That's what happens when you make me read, see? Any comments from the public with regards to those ratifications? Or excuse me, those recommendations for, okay, thank you. Now do we need a motion, or was that a motion?
I'll make a motion that we ratify that.
That's late.
Slate.
Thank you.
I'll second it.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. Last time for comments. Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we have our committees. Now I do want to say, and I hope that anybody that listens to this at a later date will understand that if you have put in for a committee and you didn't get appointed to the board, it does not mean that we don't want your support of that committee. We just can only put so many people on a board. And we are soliciting as much involvement from the community as possible in all our committees. And I would hope that people would, we will advertise these committees well in advance, and we would hope that interested parties in the community would participate in all three of our committees. The more, the better. The more input we get, the better, the more ideas we get. So with that, I would thank you for your diligence and hard work on this, guys. Okay, it's time for Gerald. See you, Brandon.
Glad you guys all stayed.
Nice going, Drew. You got everybody left on that side of the room.
And I will be out there at 2 a.m. cheering you on.
Thanks, buddy.
You have my support.
Bring Rockstar. Diet Rockstar.
Yeah, definitely diet. I'm going to look around you, try to look at this one.
Good evening.
Hey, Gerald. This is time for the Bureau of Water report, by the way.
I have approached, been up here, 22 times or so, and I've brought forward a report, and the first thing I want to say is I really encourage you to ask questions after reading my report and I'm bringing up these bullet points, because it makes it easier for me to address your concerns and your issues, so please, Bill.
Gerald, let me ask you, have you fired anybody this week?
No, I'm just
getting that smart.
I'm not going to ask this week.
Go ahead.
And the second thing is, if there's anything that I report on, that you or don't report on, that you want to see, channel it to Rick, give me a call. I can put anything in these reports that you guys want to see and talk about, okay?
Either one.
So, it's really hard to see this.
You got mic on over there?
No, it's not.
No?
Is there a red light lit?
Yes.
Then it's on.
It is?
Angle it up.
Test.
There you go.
All right, so we had one wastewater permit limit violation that occurred in February. And if you remember last month when I was speaking, there was a series of notice violations that occurred for total coliform, and this was just the one in February that was at the tail end of that string. We have done some testing, we've done some committee meetings, we've done what we call a root cause analysis meeting. A couple of those, we brought in folks from all over the West Coast and we talked about it. We really don't have a reason why it occurred. All of the times that the samples were collected within a normal range of NTU. The system was running in full power. There was one sensor that was bad, but during the time, for the most part, that sensor was offline and we were running in manual. So the ultraviolet system thought the water was dirtier than it was, so it should have been just fine. So I've talked with Greg Harris of Herbert Engineering, and I've spoke with Virgil. We're just going to have to continue to look through the numbers and pull out the trends and see if there's anything there. The biggest deal is that we put the new UV system online. Okay. There were no waste or no water violations that occurred in February, and there were no SSO events. We've worked 517 days so far without any kind of a safety incident. The old channel UV was taken offline. We drained it down. We cleaned it all up and we left it off. We left it off because the town has got some sensors out there on the new UV to monitor kilowatt hours and usage of power. And we're trying to determine what that system is going to draw under normal full operation. And as of February 16th, that UV 3000, we put it in what we call UV transmittance in auto. So I've been, since the 16th, it's been at 100% all operating on its own. We took the old plug valve out of the new UV system and I put it in the old UV system, so now I can at least drain that side. Oh, the bypass. Yeah, we actually, the bypass final repairs are to happen tomorrow. During that period, we're actually going to be bypassing into the lagoons. We could be up to 4 hours, hopefully not any more than that. We really don't want to be any more than that. We've prepared for it by draining down that level every day, lowering the gate, bringing some of that more flow back into the plant. We're going to be cleaning clarifiers, all four clarifiers is our hope, yes, to do this at that same time, just to kind of take advantage of the bypass situation. We had 11 triggered sampling events. Now, you remember that a triggered sampling event is when the turbidity exceeds 10 for more than an hour, an average of 10 for more than an hour. Then within 60 minutes of that time, you have to go collect another sample. Now, in discussions with the regional board, we talked about, well, do we really need to collect samples after hours since the lab isn't going to be open and the, you know, it's not going to be a good sample anyhow. They said, no, don't worry about it. Same logic follows for the weekend, so we only had to collect 2 samples or out of that 11 in February. Okay. We had 17 call-outs. One of them was the fire hydrant issue where the unfortunate person hit a car which ran over a fire hydrant. And most of the other ones were for process monitoring. We did have one colored water call. We are planning kind of a mass approach to the flushing that we're going to be doing in March and April. We plan to, I think we've actually sent out the press release with Rick's help, offering that and getting that out there. And we're going to be doing some flaring, like on the dead ends. We plan to do most of this at night between 9 and 3 a.m., although I can't have everybody out there for a couple weeks at a time until 3 a.m. in the morning and then come back in and be here by 7 a.m., so it's going to be a little sporadic. But that should be a good process that we would do every year, probably about this time. You can see we treated 47 million gallons of wastewater. There was a notice of violation issued by the regional board. This is for the for two things. One was for the electrical conductance. This has to do with the salinity and the salts in the town and in the discharge back into the old river. There's a limit out there of 2,100 milligrams per liter, microohms per centimeter. And we don't really treat for it, so it is what it is. Now, we've been required under the permit to submit a proposal for reduction of salinity. That's been done. We're waiting for their approval, they being the regional board, and that's kind of where we're at. Now, there are some other issues out there that I'm not fully aware of. I think there's some additional lawsuits going on with surrounding communities, and so things have been kind of put on hold at both our level and at the regional board level.
Okay.
The UV data for the UV 3000 plus, that has been the single monitoring reporting violation that we've had every month since they started issuing these things out. And basically what that means is the system has to produce the data for us to be able to report. And the process of putting that system online and building the SCADA and bringing the data in and crunching all those numbers and making them available to us has been a slow process. One of the biggest slow-ups is the fact that we don't have very good internet, and the people that are doing the work are doing it from various other states, so they tunnel in and do this work. And I can tell you, Kip this morning wrote to Virgil and said he got kicked offline 20 times before he finally had to give up, and that's during doing the work in the morning when it's the best time to do it. So it's still an issue. I don't put it in here, but if you ask me, I'll speak about it.
Joe, can I interrupt you for a second?
Absolutely.
Why don't we, if we give any thought to going to an air card or going to some other form of...
We actually went out and bought a little air card, but that's 5 people in a business using one little air card, and it's just not practical for the SCADA system.
So what are the fines costing us for the... We're every month on this exact same thing. What is this actually costing us?
There's never been a fine levied for monitoring reporting.
What's that? Will there eventually be a fine? If you had to guess it.
It's a rolling 6 months. It depends on how many
violations you have in a 6-month period.
You're allowed
an allowance of three.
Here's my question. If there was a fine, roughly off the top of your head, what do you think the fine would be? Couple grand.
Well, mandatory minimum penalty is $3,000 per fine, but I think that's an effluent violation. I don't think that's directly related to a reporting and monitoring program violation.
Yeah, the reason I say this is because there's five of you. You could take five air cards.
Yeah.
I pay $60 a month for Verizon, and that card works everywhere. I use it in my warehouse. I use it on my boat. I use it everywhere. You could do five of them for $300 a month if we had to, or four of them, and be done with this.
I don't know that an air card would work for the SCADA system. I don't know that. We use it to do all of our business with and our communication.
Have you tried your card in the SCADA system?
Excuse me?
Have you tried the card on the SCADA system?
No.
Yeah, we should.
But this is like 6 months we've been.
It is absolutely the most frustrating, unanswerable dilemma that I've come across. The service provider, first of all, we're on radio waves, so it all goes by antennas. There is no direct service to that site. We've looked at satellite downlink, it doesn't work, it won't work. For the amount of data going through it, it's an extremely slow process, much slower than what they're going through right now.
How's Mountain House doing?
Well, they have direct links. They've got direct, that they probably have cable.
Okay, but
you know that little
building we have in the corner of that lot, right across the street from Cherry Hills. You know where Cherry Hills, the corner is, and there's that little building that sits up on that knoll in that lot right there.
Right by the Gulf Station.
You know what I'm talking about? You see from Highway 4? Is that what you're talking about? That
it's little right building, there.
Right across from your driveway. Mm-hmm. Why don't we just have Comcast brought to that, and we'll get it across the street from there?
Because that's an extremely expensive process.
What do you mean?
Well, Comcast, they're not going to, unless they get a certain number of customers.
No, Comcast is right there on Cherry Hills. You just haven't put one on the other side of the street. They've already got connections right there.
Well, we're looking at doing that, but from either through AT&T or through Comcast, a little bit further up where it links over to Plant 1, and then we would line it over to Plant 2. It's an expensive process either way.
It's better than going through this every month.
But I got it. It's not fair to our vendor to not provide them with internet access.
So the using antennas doesn't seem to work. I mean, the technology is there. I see those antennas going direct to, direct between buildings all the time. I mean, that's what we do in Silicon Valley.
Between the antennas, someone's pulling.
There's some form of interference that our vendor that's providing us the bandwidth is having a difficult time determining.
Try a different vendor.
Whatever it is, whether it's being stolen, whether it's being infiltrated, whether it's being clouded up somehow, some way.
But we can't get like Motorola out here, one of their engineers, to figure it out for us?
Chris, I appreciate your questions, because we've been asking this for a year.
Rick, can we get on this big time? Because I have to agree with Kevin. We can't be angry at Veolia for getting the notices if we're not giving them the proper facilities and what they need to do their jobs.
Understood. Let me say something to that. It's not that we don't. It isn't because we don't have the internet functioning that we're getting the notice of violation. So be clear on that.
Yeah.
We can't do our business at the speed of business without having good internet, and we can't rely on what we've got right now for just the SCADA, which is the heart of the system, especially when you're not there 16 hours a day. The notice of violations are coming from the development. It slowed up the process.
Yeah.
True, it slowed up the process, but it's the notice, you have to have the equipment in, you have to have everything built and programmed, and that's been a little slower, but the violations aren't directly related to internet, but the progress of moving through it is
If we decide on a game plan, and one of them is either going to be Comcast or AT&T, I guess the point we're making is let's move forward and see if we can get this done.
Then
it doesn't show up every month. This has been going on for ages. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just saying we know we got to fix it. Let's fix it. Let's move. Let's find out. We can't say it's going to be cost prohibitive when we don't know what it's going to cost. Let's find out.
Director Tatro.
Why don't we ask Greg to get on it. Tell them to get fix it.
Gregory Harris.
They can fix it. I mean, we've been dicking around with it longer than 6 months. I mean, I think it's been more like a year. It's been forever. Just have our engineering company, just tell them, come up with a solution. They will.
Put a poll in.
So, all that being said, obviously the board is united here in saying we need to, and we're not, and we're, you're as tired of hearing us bitch about it as we are.
Your frustrations are
probably a fraction of what yours are. I understand.
Well,
and Gerald's, and Kip's, and Doug's, and
it's not being ignored. Trust me.
I don't.
But the workaround is not an easy fix.
And
the cost to the district could be expensive if we have to run cable, overhead lines, that sort of thing.
But you know what? At this point, we'd like to hear how expensive.
I understand. Yeah.
Okay. And I let me just clarify one other thing. I think that in this world of technology that we live in, we have high expectations. And it seems bizarre to us, who so easily can go to our homes or go to our, I've got the same air card he does probably, and I can go out in the car right now, I can bring it. You know, it just seems absurd that we don't have it, and so we're baffled by that. And so I apologize for our, but we want a solution.
I will bring back a report.
Thank you.
At least something at the next board meeting, status where we're at.
Go ahead, Gerald.
An idea of what the problem is.
Gerald, I got one more comment. You report on the wastewater treated. I'd like to see trend graphs on this. I'd like to see how that compares over a 12-month average. And I think we have a lot of data you keep showing to us, but I have no reference point to that. It's very difficult for me to compare what that looks like. And I'd like to see seasonal trends on these things. I would like to see as houses come back online through the foreclosures and the new developments, I want to see those numbers change. And so I just recommend that we figure out if we could put something together like that, or at least I'd like to see at least 3 months, but if we could see over a year, a slide would be nice, or an email would be good.
All right.
On that subject, Rick, you and I had this discussion yesterday. How many homes do we have service turned off to due to foreclosures? Was it 60? 600? I can't remember.
In of the homes in Discovery Bay that are metered, 15,
that's what it was. Okay, so that's only
were about 60
of 1,700. So it's not as big a number as we think it is, unless there's a exponentially different number over here in Old Town, what I call Old Town.
But those might be turned off, but there might be others that are not turned off yet,
exactly,
that haven't hit the radar screens.
You have a lot of more. There's only one person left living in a house where there's been the house is there for no reason.
Yeah, that's true.
We have three of those on our street.
Okay.
Right now.
All right, very good.
On the bright side.
Yes, sir.
In January, we feel that we got all the data into the regional board that needs to be there. Now, we had to do a little number crunching and kind of, doing it kind of the old-fashioned way, and scratching our heads and putting the pen to the paper and pulling up the numbers. But we think January is good. And then by the time February data goes in, which is the April 1, then it'll all be in electronic format.
Great.
Continue or take a question with them?
Did you have something on subject here, Mike?
I just wanted to echo what Chris was saying. On the electrical conductance, I'd like to see a trend on that and to see how far out of bed that is and how far above the acceptable.
Yeah, there's two samples that are collected a month, so you'd see 12 points worth of data. Probably I could do it more likely in an average, but yeah, it's we're at 2,200 and we need to be less than 2,100.
Yeah, I mean, just nice to see the trends. I don't need 12 points per month, but I would like to see the trend over the seasons. And we got a little more people here during the holidays or Christmas time, and it would be interesting to see those trends.
I can do that.
Okay.
The last thing on this right here is that there was 115 metric tons of biosolids produced in 2010. It's sitting out there beside the solar cells, and I'm sure it'll be applied this spring to the local fields around. I think we're allowed 10 tons per acre, I believe it is. We cleaned over 12,000 feet of collections. A lot of it was spent on Cherry Hills. Cherry Hills, you might have heard, is where there's a collapsed line. It's a double barrel line, where there is a main line for the folks on the street there, and then right beside it is another line where lift station S dumps into when the pump kicks on, and that line has a problem, and it's backing up. And so I've cleaned it myself. I've had other people clean it. In fact, today we had the whole crew from Veolia Richmond come over with a camera crew, and the best of the people that we have out there are working through it, and they busted through it, and they found some grit. I can't report every detail because I wasn't there as a meeting. But.
That's the one that has the right near the 18th tee where they have the where there was a manhole that was filling up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. The water treatment plants. There were 16 samples collected. All of them come back absent of total coliform. Well 5 is off right now. Has been off at the request of the town of Discovery Bay. There was a little bit of a green tint. I think it was only Virgil's place. Not that that means anything, but. It was only his bathtub that was filling up with the screen, and so, there was one other person there. Anyhow, it was. We shut it off. Now we don't know exactly why it is green. You can't really see it if you pour it in a glass, but if you dump it in your bathtub with a white background, you can see this green tint. So, under the direction of Ludorf and Scalmanini, John Fawcett.
Our friend John Fawcett.
They suggested we go ahead and run some tests. We collected samples, turn them in. The results have come back. There's nothing there that would indicate anything unusual. So for now, it's off. We can't leave it off all summer.
Sometimes I hate the fact that these meetings are recorded. Go ahead.
We completed 23 backflow preventers. These are the ones that are we do certifications on them. We have a guy also come in from Richmond, and he goes through and he checks them and repairs and puts kits in them and certifies them. There's like 23 or so, and there's just for the ones here at the plants and at the water plants and some of the other locations, lift stations and stuff.
This would be something that we've seen fail in the past, and this is to make sure that doesn't happen again. Is that correct?
No, a backflow preventer is, well, maybe. A backflow preventer is where you have a service of potable water, drinkable water.
Oh, no, I'm
thinking
something
else. And then there's a valve or a series of valves before it discharges. So if there was something that you took your hose, your garden hose, and threw it in your swimming pool, and you had a big party, and there's beer in there or something, it wouldn't suck back into the system, into
right,
the water supply.
Right.
So that's what there is.
Oh,
but
else.
You have to do that every year. 52 million gallons were supplied to the residents. I don't have the maintenance data. Usually I give maintenance dollars, but because we went through this new Oracle PeopleSoft system, it's a little behind. So I will tell you how much we've spent of your money sometime later. How does that sound?
Wonderful.
As soon as I know. We performed 236 work orders or preventive maintenance, corrective maintenance types activities at 160 hours. And the backlog, I was asked about that last time I was here. The backlog is all the PMs we didn't get done in the past year. And it was like 800. Mm-hmm. We came through and had some folks come down from Washington and go through and consolidate them. So instead of having 15 sheets for 15 valves, one sheet with 15 valves on it. Mm-hmm. That made a considerable reduction. There were 314. Last count, there was about 100 left. So, but that's a moving target. So if we get behind now, those will move into that. So we got to stay on top of them. Okay?
Good.
I prefer when the actual work's being done rather than consolidating paperwork to get PM's reduction in number.
Well, the work is still there.
Okay.
Whether you've got 15 pieces of paper or one piece of paper,
that's
the hours that it takes to do
I
that
agree.
Work is all
that's
there.
That's what I'm saying. So I'd rather see the number come down from having the actual work done as opposed to having
which
the paperwork.
Which it has. It came down from 300 to 314 down to 100.
That's great. And I know that the goal is to stay on top of it and have very little backlog going forward.
And our goal is to not have anything beyond 90 days.
That's correct. Any comments, Chris?
Is our PM system, does it cover our system 100%? Have we looked at all the components now and have a procedure in place?
We have 985 components listed in there. It's pretty thorough. We had Melissa, our director, our West Asset Management Director from Washington, come down. She was here this weekend. and going through the whole system. She was verifying the fact that the system we have is up to where it needs to be. I haven't got her recommendations yet, but I'm sure she's going to implement the criticality that we did last June into that system. But yeah, I think we're in pretty good shape.
Nice. Thank you very much.
Brian? Ray?
Nope, good job.
Mark?
I just like to thank you. Gerald, actually, I just like to thank you for the report. This is actually, it's comprehensive, and it's, you know, you asked why we don't ask a lot of questions. It's pretty much laid out here, and this is really easy to get through. I agree with Chris a couple of the things he's asking for, but thank you. I mean, I think it's a great report.
I echo that sentiment, and I also want to say that I think it's great that you're taking this opportunity to clean out those clarifiers, because I think that's been an issue with when we talked about turbidity before, wondering how much being agitated there, and to take advantage of the bypass so we don't get anything going through the UV, correct?
Right, and our goal going forward is that when we want to clean the clarifiers, we just get out there and start cleaning them, and the system automatically just diverts. And we get out there in a concentrated effort and blast them all out right then and there, so the growth doesn't continue through the summer, which was really scary for us because it does grow and then slough. That's the nature of a clarifier. It's the nature of biomass. And there's nothing that stops it from that point on, because there is no filter, because it's a secondary treatment facility, not a tertiary.
Yes, and it seems to me like it would be advantageous to be proactive on that and just manually divert and clean on a regular basis, as opposed to
once waiting. Once the bypass system's in, yes, we can do that.
Yeah, the other thing I was going to ask you, well six, that's up running, everything is fine, and
yes, up and running and everything's fine.
Are we using
You can drink that water. It's good water.
Okay.
Drink it.
On well six, we had to do a. I'm not sure it's in operation yet, though. It's up and ready to go, but hasn't been put into full operation.
It's not online.
It's not online yet. It's in backup. It's in backup.
Even with well five down, we're good.
Yeah, we're
right now.
It is ready to go.
The summer
well six is ready to go
right
for
now.
You.
In the summer, it'll probably would be good.
With the irrigation and everything
yep.
going on? Okay, thanks, Ray. Any questions or comments from the public for Gerald? Okay.
All three of you.
Thanks, Gerald.
Thank you.
The board outnumbers the crowd. Be careful. Don't make us come out there.
Okay, thank you very much, Gerald, for your report. Appreciate it. Well done.
We've never had this before.
Well, that looks fine. There's Gerald backing up.
Now we're even. Managers' reports. I only see one manager. Do you have a report?
I just have three quick items. The first is just to remind the board that we have 3 weeks between this meeting and the next meeting. So enjoy your week off, if you will. The next meeting is April 6th, due to the fact there's five Wednesdays in March. The other two items are that April 30th has been selected as the ribbon breaking for the ribbon cutting for the splash pad out there at the park. And so we have been working on that, and it's going to be a nice community event. As soon as we get more of those details nailed down, we'll provide that to you. And also with that, the contractor's taking the fences down tomorrow, the sods. If it hasn't gone in today, it's going in tomorrow. The fence is coming down tomorrow as well. And the last item is Cornell Park went through an overseeding process that we've talked about in the past. That took place last week. So we should be ready for the little creatures for the Easter egg hunt that's coming up in April.
Thank you.
Little creatures, children.
You're talking about the splash pad and then the report. I just want to take a moment to acknowledge Ruth Roberts out there, who does a great job at keeping up and keeping people informed of what's going on here in Discovery Bay and showing up out here on her. You know, I mean, it's part of her job, but it's a long way for her to come out. Thanks for your support, Ruth. We appreciate it from the press. Legal counsel.
Good evening, President and board members. Pardon me. At our last meeting, I had given a brief report and distributed to you Rosenberg's Rules of Order, and I explained to you how you currently have Robert's Rules of Order, which is a morass. I had encouraged all of you to go back and review them and then come back with your suggestions of things that you might want different. Just by way of a brief overview, Rosenberg's Rules of Order, like Robert's Rules of Order currently is, it's your fallback procedures. What that means is unless you have a specific procedure already adopted for something, then this would be the procedures you follow. So if there's something in here that you don't like, we adopt a specific procedure, and that would control over the particulars in here. I also, yes, sir.
No, after you're done.
I also want to point out that the first page and a half is really more suggestions aimed predominantly at the chair as you might want to do it this way or you should consider this. They are not rules in the sense that, aha, you didn't follow step 7 in the suggested procedure. Those are just guidance points. It's not until you get to the motions and basic motions portion that begins at the end of page 2 where the real rules are. Of all of the rules that are in here, the one that I sometimes lean towards having a special rule on is when it comes to recesses. That's an opportunity if we've been going for a long time and everybody needs a break. Under Rosenberg's rules of order, you would literally have to have a motion to take a recess for how long, a second, et cetera, et cetera. Now, it's been my experience that the chair or a mayor or the president is usually more than capable of sizing up if a break is necessary and just making a comment like, why don't we take a 5-minute break? And then without having to go through the formality of a motion, especially if that's kind of what people are used to, and if you don't do that, somebody coming back and saying, well, you needed to do a motion, and you did. So with that, I'm happy to answer your questions, take your suggestions, and then get your direction.
Right.
I really like how streamlined these are. The one spot that concerned me, that I think that if we did adopt these as our backup, would be the, I think that we should have a mandatory policy of having seconds on any motions. There is a spot where it says that the chair...
Which you refer us to, what you're talking about.
I'm trying to
find it. Page 2, item 6, towards the bottom of the paragraph, it says, however, a second is not an absolute requirement. And that's a common thing that people point out, that they would prefer to have a second.
Yeah, I definitely would prefer to have a second. But like I said, I mean, I'll keep it really short. I really like how straightforward it is. I mean, Robert's Rules, I've probably spent, I spent a whole plane flight from here to D.C. Trying to read Robert's Rules. And I kept picturing myself with one of those wigs on and powder, because it's archaic. Compared to what we're doing today, I'm sure it's very pertinent if we were at the House of Commons, but we're not. And I do like how streamlined and accessible these rules are.
Anything from you, Chris?
Yeah, can I get a dollar every time you don't follow the rules?
Right.
I'll make it 5. No. Actually, Brian, I don't know if you were on the same wave, but that non-second was an issue with me, and I want a second for every motion. So two of people, for sure.
I think that falls under suggestions, as you said. That was still under the suggestions policy, not necessarily procedure, correct?
You mean as far as changing, adopting a policy specifically requiring a second?
Well, you had prefaced our comments by saying that the page 1 and 2 are basically suggestions, not policy. And that's on page 2, so I'm assuming that was just a suggestion on their part. But we may already have in our policy that a motion, do we have it in our policy that a motion requires a second?
No, you do not. I would suggest, based off of hearing this, that the majority of you are more comfortable with a second, that we adopt a specific policy. Otherwise, this particular rule is vague.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick. Anything else? Ray, anything else?
No, that was it.
Mark?
I'm actually, this is far more streamlined. I'm comfortable with either one of them. I think my main objective is that we follow one of them. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but I just, we're obviously more organized the last couple of meetings. We've been very organized, and that is my goal in looking at this. So I can live with either one of them. But I think we should adopt what we're going to do as we've done and stick to it. Yes. Either one's okay with me.
Council, I think that this is it simplifies, it makes it easier for us to understand, it makes it easier for the public to understand. I think that it's, I thank you for bringing this before us to consider, and I would suggest that we put this onto an agenda item for action, making sure that included in that is the amendment or the addition that a second be included as part of our policy, and to move forward with whatever the process is to do both of those things.
If I may, can I suggest a motion to give me direction?
Yeah.
Somebody jump to the mic.
I make a motion to direct legal counsel to bring back.
May I help you?
Yes, help me, please. I had no clue where I was going with that.
I had no idea.
Not even a good bluff. Go ahead.
I would request a motion directing counsel to prepare the necessary documents to adopt Rosenberg's rules of order and establishing two specific rules of procedure, one requiring a second on all motions, and two authorizing the president to unilaterally have the power just to recess for brief periods of time.
Sure. Yeah,
what he said.
No, you have to say what he said. Just say, I make that motion.
I make that motion.
I'll second. There we go. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Any discussion from the board? Any further discussion?
I was trying.
I'm sorry, Brian, could you make the motion again? I missed it.
Any comments from the from our astute public out there about this? No? Carol, you have anything to say?
No.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Again, thank you, counsel, for bringing that forward. Are we done?
Future agenda items.
Future agenda items. Anything anybody wants to put on at this particular point in time?
It doesn't have to. I don't expect it to come up in the near future, but during the budgeting process would probably be where we talk about it. But I'd really like to open a dialogue between the board and the public on ways that we could bring our electricity costs down for the district. I don't know when you want to do that, Rick. I'm open. This doesn't have to be on the next agenda. I'd also like an update on the wetlands project.
Anything else? Chris?
Yeah, I'd like for the next agenda, I'd like us to consider exercising our power for public recreation, and I'd like to have a discussion with the board about what that might look like.
We already have the power. You mean the latent power?
We haven't exercised it.
Yes, we have.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
So you want
to I'm gonna
make a motion that we. I'd like to make it on the next agenda to consider putting together a committee for recreation.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. You know what? Is it? Could
no,
it?
Wait.
Can it?
One more. He's got one more.
So based on the activities in Japan, the earthquake and the tsunami, I've had several constituents contact me, including the Chamber of Commerce, asking about our vulnerability to the community for natural disaster and what do we have in place for emergency preparedness. I would ask that that staff take a look at that. Now we, as a board, review that and say in the next month or two as to and it might be come out of the communication committee, but how do we, what's in place and how do we organize? And I understand what staff needs to do when there's a crisis, but I'd like to have a better handle on how that works. And so like some discussion on that.
I believe staff's already on top of that.
Yeah, if I may, Director Steele, I will be more than happy to bring a status update as to what we currently have in place to a future meeting in the near future. But in terms of what an emergency ops plan might look like going forward, that's a long and laborious process that could take quite some time. And generally speaking, just so you know, local fire departments are our emergency response providers, and they are the ones that have the emergency plan in place for the county. Now, is unincorporated, that would include us as well. But as it relates to our facility specifically,
our plant over wastewater plant two, for example, it's under, it's below sea level, that's a problem. So
right.
That would need to be included as well. So we're already talking, we've already been working with Veolia.
Yeah, exactly.
There's
my concern is the unprotected wastewater, and
yeah.
And so and you know, 2 or 3 days down, no electricity concerns me.
A report would be a report to for informational purposes would be great on that if we could. Anything else, Chris? No,
thank you.
Okay. The only thing I wanted to correct real briefly before we adjourn is that under item and it does say adjourn to the special meeting. That means to say adjourn to the regular meeting on April 6th. So with that, we'll adjourn to the April 6th meeting.
And that was it.
What's that?
That was it.
It is this
not special meeting. Regular meeting. That's what I was supposed to do the other
I got this letter before.
Oh, was that what it was? Okay.
Go ahead.